let me introduce John Young. We're delighted to have him as our guest, long-time worker in this field, started life as a vet, bizarrely, rather wonderfully, and has since 2001 worked for the Overseas Development Institute, where he set up the RAPID program to investigate this area. So John, let me ask you as a starter, give us your elevator pitch, 30 seconds on what RAPID does for those who don't already know.
RAPID exists to try and increase the use of research-based evidence in development policy and practice. We define both research and policy broadly, so it's at least as much about ideas into practice as academic research into legislation or policy documents. We do research advisory and public affairs work. We try and work with all the stakeholders, researchers, policymakers, and intermediaries to help them to communicate, intermediate or use research, and we also try to work to improve what we call the enabling environment or the context so that others can do so as well.
Like all development sectors, we are riddled with jargon. So let's just unpack a little bit about your, when you talk about research uptake and monitoring and evaluation, give us some definition of your terms.
Okay, well, research uptake is really research use, but we identify three different levels of that. The first we call research uptake, which is simply that the audience who you want to be aware of your work is aware of it. The next level up from that we call impact, which is where they start doing something differently as a result of that. And the final level we call outcomes, which is where that results in some changes in people's livelihoods, essentially. So uptake, impact, and outcome. We regard monitoring and evaluation as overlapping processes. Monitoring's essentially about starting at the beginning of a project, checking ongoing processes. Is the project doing what it planned to do? Is it delivering the expected outputs and immediate results? Evaluation is a longer-term process, usually picking up midway or towards the end or after a project to assess whether it achieved the expected outcomes or long-term results. Our major focus of evaluation is assessing causality, how much did what the project do actually contribute to observed outcomes. But we actually tend to talk much more these days about monitoring, evaluation and learning, because both monitoring and evaluation should contribute to learning about what works and how to make it work better.
What would you say that most people get most wrong most often in this area?
I think most people aim too high. I think most people, when they're aiming at uptake, tend to think about uptake into policy or legislation. And as I'll explain in a minute, we see a far wider range of uptake as being useful than that. In terms of measuring whether they're getting there, most people start too late. They don't invest enough time and energy in it, or they make it much too complicated. What we think is that you need to have a strategic approach to this, and there are six things that you need to be sort of tracking as you're working if you want to be sure that you're likely to influence policy. And the first one is strategy and direction. Are you doing the right thing, and how confident are you that that's the case? What have you got to support your idea that that's the case? The second level is management, which is, are you doing what you plan to do? Very often projects end up doing something completely different to what they intended to do at the start, and nobody quite knows why. So what you should be doing is tracking whether you are doing what you said you were going to do, because otherwise you've got no idea if it's what you said you were going to do that delivered the results. The third level, outputs. Are you producing the right outputs for the audience? That's fairly obvious. Uptake. Are people aware of your work? Their outcomes and impacts. Are you having any impact in terms of changing the behavior of the people who are involved in the policy process? We don't have the outcome level here. But the sixth area where you really also need to be tracking things is the context. What else might be influencing the changes you observe? Because it's only by understanding that that you can really try and assess how much that your work has contributed to any observed changes. Some of the tools that you can use at these different levels, and obviously at the strategic level, log frames, theories of change, impact pathways. We use theories of change a lot. In fact, I'm in Indonesia at the moment working on a project called the Knowledge Sector Initiative, just been doing a sort of end of phase evaluation based on the theory of change using an approach called a performance story. And there is a theory of change which has evolved during the life of the project, which tries to describe what it's trying to do in terms of lower level and higher level outcomes and purpose level and goal. So theories of change, I think, are very good. Management, lots of stuff there. Quality audits, horizontal evaluation. A tool we use a lot is an after action review, where at the end of anything, workshop, seminar, training course, doing a piece of research, you sit down with everybody who's involved in that and just ask four questions. What was supposed to happen? What did actually happen? What were the reasons for the differences? And what would you do differently next time? That's a fantastically useful tool to just check whether you are doing what you said you were going to do, and if not, why not? And for recording, decisions that you make and reasons why you changed. At the output level, lots of different things there. Web stats is obviously an important one. A quality of academic outputs through peer review, evaluating websites, evaluating networks. We have just in this project we're working on in Indonesia, one of the assessments we made was a peer review of the publications being produced by the policy research institutes the program is funding. We did that at the beginning of the phase. We're going to do that early in the beginning of the next phase, simply because there's not time to do it this phase. And we will be able to assess whether the project has had any influence on the quality of their research outputs. Uptake, impact logs, we use a lot. Citation analysis surveys. Impact logs, I think, are an interesting idea. We just collect any email that comes into ODI that says anything at all about whether people have noticed our work. We send off to a central email box and then we sift through them and we look at things like who said it, what did they say, what project does it relate to? And you can very easily get a feel for who is aware of what you're doing and what they're saying about what you're doing. And it's very easy to do just by saving up all the emails. Then we start to get to the more difficult area, outcomes and impact. We use stories a lot, stories of change, most significant change, episode studies and performance stories. I talked a bit about the performance story we're doing here in Indonesia just now. We've also commissioned or invited participants from across the whole program here in Indonesia to submit stories of change, which describe the way in which they have changed the way that they're doing their jobs. And this is across the whole spectrum from researchers through to policymakers, and to try and explain why. And of course, some of the reasons why are to do with what the project has done, which is good. Some of the reasons are to do with the fact that the new president, Jokowi, is very much committed to evidence-based policy, and he is starting to change the whole set of incentives within government organizations, very much in favor of using research. And then the final area, monitoring the context. Well, bellwether surveys, media monitoring. The thing we've done a lot in Indonesia is timelines, simply to keep timelines of things which happen in the different streams of the work, things which the project does, things which happen, which affect what the project does, evidence of changes in the sort of stakeholder groups that the project is working with, just on a continual basis. And again, you can look at that from time to time and try and get a picture about what's changing in the context and how is that affecting what the project is doing.
Where does the learning come in? You mentioned that you often tag on monitoring aeration and learning in this sequence.
PRINCE2 is a very good example. The PRINCE2 is a management technique which usually makes people groan when they hear about it. It's been applied to a lot of very, very, very big government projects. But one of the brilliant things about PRINCE2 is it breaks projects down into stages. And what it says is you should never plan. You should never assume you can plan to deliver outcomes a long way down the track. You should only plan when you can be fairly sure of what you're going to achieve. So at the end of each stage, you have to review whether you've got to where you want to get to, whether the indicative plan you have for the next stage is right, or whether you need to change it, and how to change it.
How you can do some evaluation of return on investment. I mean, it's a really tricky one. So have you done anything on that?
We have. There's an approach which I think is fantastic. We should be using more of. It's developed by an organization called Redstone Strategy in the States. They do a lot of evaluation of not-for-profit advocacy organizations, and they've come up with a method to do a return on investment. What they do is they obviously look at a policy issue where the organization can claim to have made some contribution. They do a economic impact analysis of that policy change. They then do a contribution analysis to see how much the organization they're looking at can claim to have contributed to that. And usually the contribution numbers are relatively small, you know, about 10, 5, 10, 15%. Because in reality, there are many other factors which contribute to policy changes. Then they look at the amount of money that the organization has spent achieving that, and then they can get a cost benefit, a return on investment.
John, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Megan. Nice to talk to you.